If you have your Bibles, Romans chapter 12, we'll finish chapter 12 tonight. I want you to notice chapters 1 through 11 really are much about doctrine and about children of Israel, 9 through 11. Chapter 10 is about preaching the gospel, the importance of the gospel, and how we trust Christ as Savior, that if any man, you know, that if we confess with our mouths the Lord Jesus, thou shalt believe in thine heart, thou shalt be saved. The passage that says, blessed are those that, the feet of those that preach the gospel, beautiful are they. And then you come to chapter 12, and everything begins to change. He begins now to look at it and say, okay, now you Roman Christians, let me explain to you what you must do in order to please the Lord, in order to grow to a mature state in Christ. Number one, we're all under great persecution. Nero is on the throne in Rome, and he is a butcher, and he is hunting Christians. And so underneath that, guys, he said, look, all of us, we've got to shine as a little lights for Christ all over the world where we go. And under that pressure, they reach the entire world. How? Because of chapter 12, verse 1 and 2. Notice he says, I beseech you therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, by God's grace or mercy to you, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice. And folks, tonight, I cannot emphasize that you cannot do the rest of the chapter unless you do chapter 1 and 2 first. And so he says, look, present yourselves as a living sacrifice. Now that's an oxymoron. A sacrifice was dead. But he said, I want you to be alive. Like a sacrifice. In other words, I want you to have no will of your own, no desires of your own. I just want you to be what I need you to be. Present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy. No animal could be offered to the Lord if it had a broken leg or if it had scurvy or if it was sick. It had to be perfect. So he said, I want you to present yourself holy before me. So we get rid of our sin. We say, Lord, I'm sorry for my sin. Could I stand before you and say, Lord, I offer myself to you in service, acceptable unto God. Now, holy is everything according to law. Acceptable unto God is anything that you and I know we ought to do. According to law, you know, honor your father and mother according to law, obey your parents according to law, obey your husband according to law, husbands love your wives according to law, all these different things. But then there's this heartfelt, Lord, what else can I do? It is no place in Scripture does it say pass out tracts. But Lord, if there's something else I can, no place in Scripture does it say certain things that we can do today that are acceptable to the Lord. So he says, holy, I want you to be pure of sin and acceptable to the Lord. Anything that you know might be wrong in your life, I want you to be acceptable to him. And I want you to present yourself with no, I'll do it but, or I'll do it if you're dead. Your own flesh doesn't count anymore. Notice he says, and be not conformed to this world. Don't be like the world. Don't let them set your standards. Don't let them set your responsibilities or your goals. Now, in our world today, homosexuality, lesbianism, immorality, adultery, fornication, all those things are accepted. More than accepted, required in order to be in our society a decent person. The only problem with that is, the Lord says, if you accept that standard, you cannot present yourself to me because that's not my standard. So we present ourselves and say, Lord, I am yours. So I cannot run around to my wife. I cannot run around to my wife physically or mentally. Notice what he says. But be a transformed, changed. Be a completely different than before you presented yourself. In other words, let me, with my Holy Spirit, work in your heart and make you completely different. you have an issue with temper, you have an issue with bitterness, you have an issue with whatever it might be, he said, let my Holy Spirit work on your heart, and say, no, you can't do that. You need to give that up. Yes, you need to do that. You need to be more loving. You need to be more this. You need to be more that. And so the Holy Spirit begins to work in our hearts, and he makes us more like Christ. We are transformed, notice, by the renewing of your mind, by the way you rebuild your mind. Now notice, I'm going to skip from there and look over chapter 12, verse 16. Be of the same mind one to another. In other words, have the same type of thoughts together. Be together in your mind. But notice the next phrase, mind not high things. The mindset of a Christian is the greatest battleground. So he says, look, mind not high things. In other words, don't look for respect because I'm good at something. Put away pride, high things. Notice what he says, but condescend, lower yourself. Literally, this word condescend is the word to be below, to get down to men of low estate. You know, excuse me. One of the things that Susan really disliked about her first wheelchair was she was sitting down in the front row. She couldn't get up and go shake people's hands because she was down here and everybody else was up here. And she said, I didn't feel a part. She said, I'm the pastor's wife. I sit on the front row, but I don't feel a part. And she would never say anything about it until I asked her, honey, why don't you roll down the aisle and shake people's hands? She says, because I roll over people's feet. They can't see me. I'm down low. And she said, I'm just below everybody else. Now, every once in a while, I'd see somebody sort of get down lower and talk to her. That's this word. Condescend to men of low estate. It is you lower yourself to the position of somebody else. No matter what position you hold, no matter what kind of great job you have, when you're talking to people, you don't consider yourself as better than them. That's the mindset you're supposed to have. Now, that's a cataclysmic change from the world. The world's mindset is, I want to get there. I want to climb the ladder. I want to be better than everybody else. I want to have more than everybody else. It's a competition. I want to be somebody. And the Christian mindset is, I want to be nobody except what you want me to be. Notice what he says. But condescend men of low estate. Now look at the next phrase. Be not wise. Don't think about yourself in your own conceits. Now this was a reflexive pronoun, but it means literally to don't be full of yourself. Don't look at your own accomplishments. Don't be wise, in other words, don't know everything about yourself that you've done that's good, your own conceits. He said, that I want you to be different than that. Now, let me show you the proof of that. Take your Bible and turn to Philippians. Look at Philippians chapter 2. Look in verse 2. Verse 2, fulfill you my joy that you may be like-minded. There it is again. Having the same love, being of one accord, of one mind. Now, what is that mind? Let nothing be done through strife or vainglory, but in lowliness of mind. Same root word as the other one. Let each esteem other better than themselves. That's the mindset the Christian that's been transformed has toward those around them. It removes pride and arrogance. You don't look at all of your accomplishments and all the things that you have done and look at everybody else and look down. You try to look level to them or up to them. You consider yourself, notice the wording, but in lowliness of mind. Let each esteem other better than themselves. Now, notice where we get that. Look in verse 6, verse 5. Let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus. Look in verse 8. And being found in fashion as a man, he humbled himself. That's the word to in lowliness of mind. If Jesus Christ could humble himself, you and I got to too. We need to renovate our mind to think not about all of our accomplishments, but how can I be a blessing to someone else? How can I encourage someone else? You see, we're a servant. Lord, I'm yours. Lord, I present myself. Then I want you to be a blessing to other people. I want you to encourage other people. I want you to lift them up. You can't do that when you say, okay, let me help you get up where I am. It's the wrong mindset. So you got to be transformed. Christians are to have the mindset that I'm a nobody without Christ. I'm a nothing unless I'm filled with his Spirit. Then when you do something wonderful, the Lord gets the credit because people come to you and say, wow, no, it's not me. The Lord's just been good to me. And you can do it. We can all do that. Let's do it together. You see, in lowliness of mind, you consider yourself. There's a lot of people that won't do certain jobs in the church. Why? Because it's beneath them. He said, wrong mindset. It ought to be all of us willing to do anything. Whatever needs to be done, let me do it. Let me help. But whenever somebody comes up and says, let me help, they usually want a big job, not a little job. And yet, little jobs are important. If we don't do enough little jobs, the ministry goes awry. It doesn't represent Christ well. So when you come home, a husband has got to lower himself and consider his wife as more important than himself. And that's what love is anyway. And so, honey, how can I help be a blessing? Could you help me with the dishes? Oh, I don't want to do that. I don't want to do dishes. Well, could you vacuum? I don't vacuum. No. You see, it's the mindset of a Christian goes everywhere we walk, no matter who we are. And so you'll notice, if you would, now flip back over, if you would, into Romans chapter 12. He said, be not wise in your own conceits. Be not wise in your own accomplishments, in your own abilities. Be not wise in, don't know everything about all that you've done. He said, you're not supposed to be wise. Wise is to be knowledgeable about and know how to apply it. And so he says, I don't want you to know, be knowledgeable about your own accomplishments. Let somebody else tell you, but you don't think about them. That's the mindset of a Christian. I think about how I can help you be successful. Now notice, if you would, I want to help my wife be successful. I want to help my husband be successful. That's the mindset of a godly wife and a godly husband. I want to help my brother be successful. That's the mindset of a godly sister or a godly brother. You're always trying to lift others up. Notice with me, if you would, verse 17, he begins sort of a new section. And he sort of goes from the difficult to the hardest. Now, notice it is difficult. Verse 9 of chapter 12, he says, let love be without dissimulation. In other words, love people without being hypocritical about it. And abhor that which is evil and cleave that which is good. Now, everybody knows we ought to do that. So those are pretty easy ones. But now, wait a minute. We also know we ought to do 17, but nobody can do it. Recompense, and this is the word apodynamy, which is to give back. Don't give back evil for evil. Ever heard of road rage? That's a definition right there. Don't give back what somebody gives you. Ever heard of railing for railing in 1 Peter 3, husband and wife? Don't give back what he gives you or she gives you. Don't pay back, don't give back evil for evil. That's not God's way. Now, that is man's way. That is our flesh. You do to me, I do to you. But that's the flesh. And that's when he said, you need a renovated mind. You got to think differently. When somebody does you evil, you've got to do them good. Whoa, what? Well, that would solve the marriages. That'd slow down the court dockets. Notice what he says. Recompense to no man evil for evil. Provide things honest in the sight of all men. In other words, provide things. The word honest is kolosis, which is good. Provide good things. Provide true things. Be real. Be genuine in the sight of all men. Be real in the sight of all men. Does that include those you live with? Yes. Be real. Now, a lot of people say, well, I am real. I just say it like I think. I just say whatever I think. You forgot Colossians chapter 4, let your speech be always with grace, seasoned with salt, which is a preservative. You see, that's a renovating of our mind. Because we're going to pride ourselves in being forthright. And the Lord says, I don't want my children to be like that. I want you to think through everything, every word that comes out of your mouth to make sure it's acceptable to me. Let your speech be always with grace, always better than it should be. Grace is something you give to somebody they don't deserve. Do you see the difference in the Christian's mind thinking and the world's mind thinking? One's ruled by the flesh, one is ruled by the Spirit of God. But you and I have to, the foundation of that is, Lord, I give you myself and I want my flesh to die. Lord, I don't want to have any will of my own. I want to think like you want me to think. Let this mind be in you, which is also in Christ Jesus. Why are the Christians like that? Our churches should be full of them. But we don't want to be taken advantage of. Now watch. I'm going to come back to verse 18, but notice verse 19. Dearly beloved. It's almost like he's saying, now look. Dearly beloved, avenge not yourselves. Now, the word avenge, and notice if you would, in verse 19, the word vengeance. The root words are the same. According to law. According to right. Dikaios is the root for those words. One of them, notice if you would, avenge not yourself, is out of the law, don't defend yourself. Notice if you would, he says, avenge not yourselves. Out of the law, don't give back to somebody what they deserve. Don't do that. Don't out of the law look at it and say, well, that's not right. You may be right, but do it wrong. Think like Christ thinks. Think spiritually. Notice what he says. Avenge not yourselves, but rather give place to wrath. You know the problem whenever we get offended? It's always anger. Anger boils up in our heart. We get mad about something, and we're gonna let the steam off and let whoever, I'm going to give them a piece of my mind. And if the Holy Spirit gets a hold of our heart after we've given somebody a piece of their mind, we're going to have to go to them and ask for that piece back and say, I'm sorry I gave that to you. Will you forgive me? Because he says, I want you to give place to wrath. When you get angry about something, you give a place for that temper to sit there and rest, and you trust me. Notice what he says. But it is written, vengeance belongeth unto me. Vengeance. Giving what the law says. Paying somebody what the law says. In other words, it's the word for vindicating you by justice. I will defend you, God says. I will see somebody is paid back. But it's not up to you. Well, that's different for Christians. Now, this has to do with the Christian life. The environment is Nero. Okay? So you as a Christian, everywhere we go, the environment at work, we're to do the right thing. We're to forgive people. We're to be good to those that are evil to us. Take your Bible and turn to Luke chapter 6. Notice if you would. Luke chapter 6. Now these are the Beatitudes. These are the teachings of Christ, Sermon on the Mount. He preaches this sermon. Everybody's in awe, shocked. How can anybody live like that? Notice if you would in verse number 27. He says, but I say unto you which hear. How many of you are listening tonight? He says, I say unto you which are listening and hear. Love your enemies. Do good to them which hate you. What? If people hate me, I'm going to hate them more. I got to defend myself. He said, no, when you present yourself to me, now I'm telling you to be good to your enemies, to love them. And he uses the word agape, just love them like I love you. He doesn't give us any grace or quarter here. Love your enemies. Enemies are people that try to get you. Verse 28, bless them that curse you, and pray for them which despitefully use you. That's the word, insult you or abuse you. If we just did those two verses, it would change our relationships. Now, I do want to remind you that verse 46 is in this passage. And it goes with that. Look at it. Why call ye me Lord, Lord, and do not the things I say? Oh, wow. They said, there's my Savior. There's Jesus Christ. And he says, why do you call me Lord if you don't love your enemies? If you don't treat those good that treat you bad? All of a sudden, they back up and say, what? You see, the Spirit of God is the one that has to help us renovate our thinking. We have to learn how to think. One of the reasons that coaching changes in any sport are bad at the beginning. Does anybody know why? You have to teach all your players a different way to think. Some coaches, whenever they're covering somebody in NFL, they teach press coverage. Stay with the man. Keep him in front of you. Press coverage. And then sometimes they teach a zone coverage. Keep him in front of you and train him off to the next guy, and you just stay in your area. Two completely different concepts. And so if you get a change in coaches, it's really hard. We have no change in coaches. Our coach is Jesus Christ, and he says the same thing 2,000 years. Love your enemies. I want you to love your enemies. I want you to love those that treat you bad. I want you to pray for them that despitefully use you and insult you. I want you to represent me with a sweetness that the world says, what is that? And I want you to do it consistently. I want your mind to be like my mind. And he had to say, wait a minute, why are you calling me Lord, Lord, if you don't know what I say? I guarantee you they said, well, I want to be a Christian, but I'm not going to do that. So he concludes the passage, why call me Lord if you're going to exclude the things that are hard? Would you notice in verse 33 of Luke 6, and if you do good to them which do good to you, what thank have ye? You loan somebody money. You say, well, hey, I've loaned him money. Did he pay you back? Yeah. He says, what good is that? Didn't cost you anything. And if you do good to them which do good to you, what good have you? For sinners also do even the same. The banker will loan you money if you'll pay him back. You can't say, hey, I'm a good guy. I loaned this guy money. Did he pay you back? Yeah. He said, well, unsaved bankers do that. So notice what he says in verse number 34. And if you lend to them of whom you hope to receive, what thank have ye? For sinners also lend to sinners to receive as much again. But love ye your enemies and do good and lend, hoping for nothing again, and your reward shall be great, and ye shall be the children of the highest, for he is kind unto the unthankful and to the evil. Be ye therefore merciful as your Father also in heaven is merciful. We're merciful because we don't expect people to get what they deserve. That's a completely different mindset of thinking for the Christian. I'm sure these Romans, as they got this book, read this letter and said, he said, what? Is that the same thing you got? Yeah, that's what I got. Now let's go back over into verse number 20 of Romans chapter number 12. Therefore, if thine enemy hunger, feed him. We want our enemy to starve so we don't have to mess with him anymore. Notice what he said. Therefore, if thine enemy... Now, notice, it's therefore. According to the teaching he just gave you. Recompense to no man evil, verse 17. Avenge not yourselves, verse 19. Let the Lord take care of it, verse 19. Therefore, if thine enemy hunger, feed him. If he thirst, give him drink. For in so doing, thou shalt heap coals of fire on his head. And for many years, you know, unless you looked up in Proverbs and understood what that meant, Everybody has a house that, like when we were in Papua New Guinea, there was a hut that was there. In the middle of this thatched roof hut, they somehow, and I guess it was probably about as big as from here to that piano. It was a circle, about that big. And it had two rooms in it, a bedroom, and then the living room. And right in the middle of it was a fireplace. And I don't know how it didn't burn the whole place down. I do not know how. But somehow they got it figured out where it doesn't. And they got dirt piled up underneath the floor. And so it sat on the dirt and it would fire there. Well, when the fire goes out, they don't go down to the 7-Eleven and get another box of matches. So they would have to go to the neighbor or to a friend or to somebody and say, hey, could you loan me some coals? So they take something and get coals on it, live hot coals, walk in there, put it on their fire, and it starts the fire. You never let your fire go out. You heat with it, you cook with it. So fire was critical. So the idea is, okay, look here. When your neighbor's fire goes out, whose animal got loose and ate up your tomato plants, and you told him to keep that animal put up, and he didn't, and you can't stand him right now, heap coals of fire on his head. Now, you might say, well, that's pretty good. Just pour them coals on his head. That'd work. But what he's saying is they would take these pots and this metal and balance it on their head and walk with it. So as a Christian, he said, most people, if you go to your enemy and say, could you loan me a coal? It's life and death to me. I can't eat. You don't say, okay, let me see here. Let me see here. Let me give you, here. Here's one coal there. He said, you heap coals of fire. So you get a bunch of yours. You even sacrifice a little of your heat for them, your enemy. You show him the love of Christ that he does not deserve. And then he takes that whole heaping coal of fire, which takes nothing to start a fire with because there's so many hot coals in it, and he puts it on his head and he walks to his house and he says, I can't believe that guy gave me so much. Heap coals of fire on their head. Now let's read this passage. Therefore, if thine enemy hunger, feed him. Hey, I didn't fix any bread. I ran out of bread. Do you have just a half a loaf that I could have for my children? Sure, here's one loaf. Take two. What? Hey, when people come to our church, they may say, look, I'm almost out of gas. You know, could you give me $10 for gas so I could get to my house out in Winchester? We don't know if they're real or they're just hitting us up. But you know, according to this passage, let's go fill the whole tank up. And they, wow, thank you. That fulfills this passage. We have to think differently. Someone is sick. Can I prepare you a meal? Now, a meal could consist of a pot of spaghetti. Or it could be spaghetti. It could be meatballs. It could be bread. It could be garlic bread. It could be salad. It could be green beans. It could be a whole meal. It could be tea. It could be coffee. It could be Dr. Pepper, Coke. I mean, you could get. I mean, you could really just blow them out of the water here. And they say, I didn't mean all that. That's what this passage means. Now, you might do that for your aunt or your uncle or somebody you love, but he says, do that for your enemies. Oh. Do you see how different that is? Therefore, if thine enemy hunger, feed him, and if he thirst, give him drink. Take your Bible and turn to 2 Kings 6. In verse 17. Now, this is the story. Watch this. We don't know who this was, but in verse 13, he said, go and spy where he is, I may send and fetch him. And it was told, saying, behold, he's in Dothan. And verse number 14, therefore sent he thither horses and chariots and a great host. They came by night and compassed the city about. And when the servant of the man of God was risen early. Now, we don't know who this was. It could have been Gehazi. And so he goes out and he looks and he says, oh my, we're surrounded. And he goes back to Elisha in verse 15. He says, alas, my master, how shall we do? What are we going to do? And he answered him, fear not, for they that be with us are more than they be with them. We all know that passage. And you'll notice Elisha prayed and said, Lord, I pray thee open his eyes that he may see. And the Lord opened the eyes of the young man. And he saw, and behold, the mountain was full of horses and chariots of fire round about Elisha. Now, wouldn't you like to have been there for that? I just one time like to see the heavens open and see all the angels. Wow. Can you believe that apparently that guy lied to Elisha, lied to the Lord, took without really, it wasn't right, from Naaman? Notice this. Notice in verse 18. We stop at verse 17. And when they came down to him, Elisha prayed unto the Lord and said, smite this people, I pray thee, with blindness. Now, that's pretty cool. You're surrounded by the enemy. Lord, would you give them blindness? Now, we might say, let's give them permanent blindness. But that wasn't Elisha. It was just enough to get their attention. But now he had a king that was very fleshly. Notice, if you would, in verse number 19. And Elisha said unto them, this is not the way, neither is this the city. Follow me, and I'll bring you into the man whom you see. But he led them to Samaria. And it came to pass when they were coming to Samaria that Elisha said, Lord, open the eyes of these men that they may see. These were his enemies. The people that encompassed his city to take him. Notice in verse 21, the king of Israel said unto Elisha, when he saw them, my father, shall I smite them? Shall I smite them? Hey, can we kill them? Can we kill them? He answered, thou shalt not smite them. I'm sure the next question, but they're our enemies. They came to destroy our city. Wouldest thou smite those whom thou hast taken captive with the sword and with thy bow? Set bread and water before them that they may eat and drink and go to their master. I can assure you that king, somebody had to prop him up. You what? You don't want me to kill them. You want me to feed them? This is the precursor to Romans chapter 12. An example. In verse number 23, and he prepared great provision for them. Now, did you notice what it says? This is Luke. He prepared great provision for them. Didn't give them just a little bit. He blew them away with great provision with them. And when they had eaten and drunk, he sent them away, and they went to their master. We're not going to attack him. He's too good to us. So the bands of Syria came no more into the land of Israel. There's the example. Do good to your enemies and those that despitefully use you or want to despitefully use you. Elisha was one of the miracles of Elisha. Elisha was a man of God long before his time, when there's no copy of the scriptures he could read. There were no beatitudes, but he had the same spirit in the Old Testament as in the New Testament. Now, let me say this to you. If you've had a rough time with someone, if you've had a difficult mindset over the years, let me tell you what to do. Come present yourself and say, Lord, I'm sorry. I want you to change the way I think. I want you to make me a loving servant of yours. I want you to teach me how I should treat others that don't treat me well. Lord, will you help me? And then take the scriptures and hide them in your heart. Pray for those that despitefully use you. When your enemy asks you for something, heap coals of fire upon him. In other words, win his heart with goodness. Now, you might say, well, Pastor, that doesn't work. Well, that's the way of the Lord. If you and I do his will and pray, it will work. If you have not had this mindset towards someone, your neighbor, your friends. I was preaching one night 28 years ago from this pulpit. Well, the one that was here before, before we remodeled. And I don't know what I was preaching, what passage, but the Holy Spirit hit my heart and said, you didn't do so-and-so right. Now, I'm up here preaching, and the Holy Spirit's working on my heart about a passage I'm preaching. So I didn't know what to do. I didn't know whether to stop preaching and finish up. I said, Lord, if you'll let me get down from here, I'll make it right. So I finished the message, went home, got on the phone, called that person, asked him to forgive me. Told him I didn't do them right. Will you forgive me? And the guy says, I never thought I'd ever get a phone call from you. I said, I'm so sorry. Okay, thanks for calling. All of us, from time to time, make a decision. And the guy wasn't treating me right, but I didn't treat him right back. And I don't know if it was this passage or which one it was, but it was like, how can you preach and not do what I say? How can you hear and call me Lord and not do what I say? Husbands, love your wives. Wives, obey your husbands. Children, obey your parents. Christians, be of the same mind. Look at others higher than yourself. With lowliness of mind. If we will do that, it will change our heart. It will change our relationships. But the reason it doesn't happen is because people will not humble themselves. It takes courage, guts, and the Holy Spirit for us to say, I'm going to humble myself. I don't care what the cost. I want you to be accepted of me. I want me to be accepted of you. I want to be acceptable in your sight. Tonight, how do you think? Do you think like Christ does? Let this mind be in you, which was in Christ Jesus. It'll change your relationships. It'll change your walk with the Lord. Let's bow our heads for a prayer tonight. We're going to have a word of prayer. If you need to come tonight and talk with the Lord, I want to urge you to come. If you're battling with someone emotionally, at work, in your neighborhood, present yourself tonight and ask the Lord to give you a different mindset. You'll be happier for it. And the joy of the Lord will fill your soul. Lord Jesus, speak to our hearts tonight. Lord, you know the people in this room. I don't. Dear Holy Spirit, you know all of us. You know me. I pray that you'd help all of us to present ourselves tonight because of what you've done for us. And Lord, help us to yield ourselves and to think like you want us to think. Help us to be willing to renew our minds in you. In your precious name we pray. Amen.